NASA delays Atlantis till January. A Continental pilot's in hot water after an incursion at Newark. And there's another close call at Baltimore to report. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, December 10th, 2007. Continued failures in fuel-level sensors have prompted NASA to give up on launching the space shuttle Atlantis until after the first of the year. The shuttle's external fuel tank has four level sensors. They ensure a timely shutdown of the engines if fuel runs low. If the engines were allowed to enter fuel starvation, an explosion could result. If the engines cut off early, an emergency landing would be the best possible outcome. The sensors are critical. The decision to scrub was made ahead of a scheduled 3:21 p.m. launch on Sunday. The next opportunity is January 2nd. Investigators and policymakers continue to look for new ways to operate airports to reduce runway incursions, but many cases appear to be simple human error by flight crews. NBC reports that on Thursday, two Continental Airlines jets came within 300 feet of each other at Newark Liberty International Airport. Newark Liberty is a hotspot for incursions, but in this case, one pilot acknowledged to command to hold short, yet continued past the hold short line and taxied onto a runway in front of another flight which was landing. NBC talked with J.P. Tristani, an observer it identified as a retired pilot, who predicted implications for both the pilot and his training program. Quote, "He's in a precarious position about proper procedures in terms of moving your aircraft around an airport. There's a training problem there, and the first thing the FAA is going to look at is the training procedures," unquote. The Federal Aviation Administration says there was another 300-foot close call on December 2nd at Baltimore-Washington International Thurgood Marshall Airport. A Delta Connection regional jet took off and flew over a U.S. Airways Airbus A320 that was landing on a crossing runway at about 7:25 p.m. That's according to a report in the Washington Post. Delta says there were 43 passengers on the Delta Connection jet, which is operated by Comair and was headed to Boston. There were 150 passengers on the U.S. Airways jet arriving from Phoenix. No one reported any injuries on either flight. FAA officials said that the U.S. Airways pilots reported the incident, adding that the Delta Connection flight crew never saw the other plane. In this case, the FAA says an unidentified controller improperly issued a takeoff clearance for the Delta Connection flight, even though the U.S. Airways plane was approaching the runway. An automated alert sounded, but not in time for the controller to take action. National Air Traffic Controllers Association officials have declined so far to comment. Both carriers say they're cooperating with the National Transportation Safety Board. The Associated Press reports an aviation task force convened by the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey has suggested express flight paths for congested routes to help ease traffic at LaGuardia, Kennedy, and Newark Liberty. The group is comprised of state officials, aviation experts, and airline executives, and has been meeting since spring. Among 100 suggestions were special flights direct to Washington, D.C., and even new taxiways at their airports. The Port Authority has reportedly targeted as many as 27 of the recommendations to pursue for FAA funding. But the U.S. Department of Transportation has its own Blue Ribbon panel, which acknowledges the airports group came up with some good ideas, but says the government is already at work on some of them. Federal officials have threatened a cap on the number of hourly flights at JFK next summer, or higher landing and departure fees during peak hours if the airlines don't reduce congestion on their own. Neither the Port Authority nor the airlines want to see either of those measures come to pass. Up next on ANN, a midair over the Everglades claims two lives. Searchers in Alaska find parts of a missing medevac helo and a passenger. And theft arrests at Jacksonville International include a TSA screener. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 10th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. FAA and NTSB are investigating a Saturday mid-air collision over the Florida Everglades, which claimed the lives of both pilots. The South Florida Sun Sentinel reports the accident is the seventh involving propeller-driven aircraft this year, more than doubling last year's total. The Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office found both planes underwater following the crash at about 3:30 p.m. on Saturday. One was a 1964 Piper Comanche twin on a flight into Miami from Pompano Beach. The other plane was a Cessna 152 flown by a student on a cross-country from Lantana to Fort Lauderdale Executive. Jeff Roselle, the owner and manager of Rohan Aviation, told the paper that this was a classic high-wing, low-wing visibility issue. The Comanche pilot was in contact with Miami Tower, being directed into land, and was warned of other planes in the area. Roselle theorizes the Comanche pilot's view of the Cessna below him was blocked by his wing, and vice versa. An NTSB causal report won't be out for about a year. Human remains found washed up on the shore of a canal near Whittier, Alaska, Saturday afternoon have been identified as the body of a flight nurse known to have been aboard a medevac helicopter which went missing last Monday evening. Found with the body of 47-year-old John Stumpf was debris, including the intact left sliding door from the BK-117 helicopter operated by Evergreen Helicopters for Providence Hospital's Lifeguard, an air ambulance company. It disappeared 40 minutes into a 90-minute flight to transport a patient from Cordova to Anchorage. Still missing are 60-year-old patient Gay McDowell of Cordova, 42-year-old pilot Lance Brabham of Soldotna, and 25-year-old paramedic Cameron Carter of Kenai. The Valdez Civil Air Patrol and a number of private boats have been involved in the search for a week, but up until Saturday, only scattered debris had been found. It's still not known exactly where the helicopter went down. Three baggage handlers and a TSA screener were arrested Thursday and Friday and charged with stealing 9 laptops, a computer bag, software, a wristwatch, and an iPod at Jacksonville International Airport. The U.S. Attorney's Office told the Times Union the men worked in a luggage screening area. The three handlers worked for a baggage loading subcontractor. The men allegedly stole passengers' items in October and November. Delta, United, and Continental Airlines were picked for thefts by the men. The U.S. Attorney's Office says an investigation was prompted by complaints about missing items. Arrested were 34-year-old Craig Hannon of Kingsland, Georgia, and Jacksonville residents Evage Moore, age 21, Quentin Davis, age 25, and Ricardi Lamar, who's 18. U.S. Attorney Robert E. O'Neill is ready to throw the book. Quote, "We have to make sure if that occurs, the perpetrators get brought to justice," unquote. Dalian, a Chinese state-run company, has been ordered to pay a record $65 million in compensation and interest for the destruction of a Malaysia Airlines Airbus A330 jet. The plane was ruined by corrosive chemicals leaking from a container the company had claimed contained only a safe powder. The incident happened in March of 2000. An acrid odor was detected by the crew before the flight from Beijing landed at Kuala Lumpur on its way to India. 5 ground handlers became ill while unloading the canisters that were to be sold to an Indian company. The flight's passengers were offloaded without incident, but Airbus officials concluded that the $130 million aircraft was so badly corroded that the damage could not be repaired. The Beijing Higher People's Court ruled last week that the Dalian company is to blame. The ruling comes after 5 years of litigation and marks the highest compensation ever awarded by the Beijing court over a civil lawsuit in the Chinese capital. There's no word on whether Dalian will appeal the award as unjustified or whether Malaysia Airlines will appeal the award as insufficient. Still ahead, DayJet expands service already. A solemn anniversary marks a day which will live in infamy. And the suspect says he was trying to impress his girlfriend when he stole that King Air. Oh, and he was drunk. You're listening to Aero News.
A uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, December 10th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Aero News has learned that Dayjet Corporation will announce today the expansion of its per-seat on-demand service. Members will be able to get that service to 28 additional regional destinations when they begin or end their travel at one of the existing five current Florida dayports in Boca Raton, Gainesville, Lakeland, Pensacola, or Tallahassee. The expansion is effective December 10th, just 60 days after Dayjet's official launch of service. CEO Ed Igabuchi says the rapid expansion comes in response to positive feedback and customer requests for more locations. Quote, business travelers in our region are reaping productivity benefits of turning regional travel that once required overnight stays or hours in the car into convenient and comfortable day trips, unquote. New communities served include Dothan and Mobile, Alabama, Daytona Beach and Sebring, Florida, Savannah, Georgia, and Pascagoula, Mississippi. Details are available on the Dayjet website. Dayjet operates a fleet of Eclipse 500 very light jets. More than 200 U.S. forces deployed in Southwest Asia attended a memorial retreat Friday in honor of the 2,340 killed and 1,143 wounded in the December 7, 1941 attacks on U.S. military installations on Oahu, territory of Hawaii. President Franklin Roosevelt called the date of the Pearl Harbor attack a day which will live in infamy. On Friday, Brigadier General Charles Lyon, 379th Air Expeditionary Wing Commander, told attendees at a memorial service, quote, "We have come here today to pay honor and homage to our nation's heroes, the fallen and survivors of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Let us never forget there is a price to pay for freedom. It doesn't come free," unquote. He added that younger generations need only remember the September 11th attacks to understand the wide range of emotions, including sadness, fear, and anger, that swept the country following the Pearl Harbor attack. Quote, "As Americans and as partners for freedom, we will never forget the heroism, dedication, and painful sacrifice of American sailors, airmen, soldiers, and Marines that took place 66 years ago," unquote. Michael Santos is the man accused of attempting to steal a Beech King Air C-90 from an Indiana airport in September and winding up instead with a plane in a soybean field. Fog obscured security cameras, but after an investigation and a few timely tips, police say they were sure he was their man. The Michigan City News-Dispatch reports that Santos has since told police he was drunk when he took his girlfriend to the LaPorte Municipal Airport, where the couple broke into the aircraft, managed to start the engines, and began taxiing for departure. He says flames began to shoot from the left engine, and he veered the plane into a soybean field. Damage to the King Air, owned by a Delaware-based company, was estimated at $160,000. On Friday, Santos was charged with theft and criminal mischief and with operating a motor vehicle after his driving privileges had previously been taken away for life. As for a motive, police say Santos wanted to impress his girlfriend. Cool. Maybe she'll be his pen pal while he's in the clink. And finally, while we're on the topics of airplanes and jail time, The Sun reports that on a recent Ryanair flight to Brussels, a teen stood up and relieved himself near the back of the 737's cabin as the aircraft taxied for departure. That's right, not in the lavatory. Cabin attendants were not amused. The teen and a friend, reportedly part of a group of five men, were arrested after the plane taxied back to the gate on violations of the Air Navigation and Transport Act. The 8:30 a.m. flight departed about an hour and a half late after the aircraft had to be cleaned. A Ryanair spokeswoman said the men had refused crew instructions to take their seats for departure. Quote, "Ryanair will be pressing charges," unquote. Cool. Maybe his friend will be his pen pal while he's in the clean. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll talk about the go, no-go decisions, which arise both on the ground and in the air. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.